5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is Yahoo Sports Radio 1560.
Davis tries to clip, and it's in!
KGOW Bel Air Houston, a Gal Media radio station. You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud White, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Well, one of the most skilled midfielders and a guy with a great range of passing joining us now. Sporting Kansas City comes to town here in Houston this weekend to take on the Dynamo. They've got a lot of great history. Benny Failhaber joins us now. Benny, thank you so much for taking the time out to come on the show.
Oh, no problem, guys. Appreciate it for you guys having me.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's talk a little bit about this year. And I first want to talk individually with you. Off to a great start. You lead the league in assists with 5. It's 2 more than anybody else in MLS. Just talk about you're 30 years of age now. You've been through a lot of the soccer wars now. Just add the element of experience into where you are at this stage of your career.
Well, it's like you said, you definitely, you played quite a few games once you get to 30. So, it's definitely holds true for me. And I've played in my definitely my share of MLS games now, and games abroad and with the national team. So obviously, experience plays a huge factor in my game. And so, I feel like I can use that more and more, especially now that I've been with one team for now a third season, and hopefully for more to come. So. Those years keep piling up, and obviously you know a lot of the players you're playing against, you know a lot of the teams that you're playing against, you know maybe where you can kind of take advantage of them in some sense. So experience, like you said, plays a huge factor, and it does for me.
What about as a player? Are there times now when you're older that you say, look, I got to redefine my career, I got to add something to my game? Does that come from you as a player? Does a coach or a manager help you with that? Is that something you think about?
I think, at this point in my career, at least, I feel like, the things that I'm trying to do are perfect the things that I'm good at. And when I first came to Kansas City about, two seasons ago, two and a half years ago, I definitely wanted to add an extra piece to my game. And I think I was able to with the help of, our coaching staff and the players around me. And that was, my physical side, my defensive aspect, and more importantly, my fitness. That was something that was always really lacking in my game. And when I, kind of wore down, I would kind of disappear from games. So it was something that was very important to me, and I was able to, I'm not going to say, make it a strength, but definitely improve it and make it less of a weakness. So, at this point in my career, I'm trying to maximize the strengths, because I think it is it definitely gets a little bit tougher as the years go on to really bring something new to your game. You are who you are, and you're trying to maximize your strengths and hopefully limit your weaknesses. So. That's where I am right now in my career as a player.
He's Benny Failhaber. You can see him this weekend. He is the leading assist man in Major League Soccer. Many of you remember his fantastic goal in the Gold Cup, one of my all-time favorite goals from the U.S. national team against Mexico. All right, so I look at this midfield. You know, these are hardworking guys. Servando Carrasco, Roger Espinosa, Graham Zusi, Dwyer, Namath. Did the system in some ways force you under Peter Vermes to look at that side of your game a little bit more?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, we're Sporting has been a team since Peter's taken over. That is all about hard work. Obviously, our pressing system, where we like to try and commit the other team to turnovers in their end, and so that requires a lot of running from, especially the front five. And so it's not. You know, that the offensive players only have one duty to create opportunities. It's much more than that. So, you know, for my game, there was a lot of adapting that had to be done. So that's, you know, like you said, that's something that, you know, is required for the system that we play under Peter. And, for myself, it's something that really has helped me become more of a complete player, if I can say that.
Benny, do you guys leave L.A. in a game that you probably should have gotten more out of this game? Do you leave L.A. frustrated? Do you leave L.A. angry, motivated? What's the feeling after that game to the Galaxy, them getting the late goal with Omar Gonzalez?
Well, there's no doubt about it that you leave frustrated and upset about, you know, losing a point, because I think we played a very good first half, especially after they go up 1-0. We had a good reaction to the game there, and I think outplayed really LA, the champions, at their own place for the entirety of the first half. Except second half wasn't the same thing. And I think, you know, as much as LA is a great team, I don't think it was too much of what they did in the second half. It was that we didn't do the things that made us successful in the first. So I'm hoping that, you know, we also come motivated, like you said, about what happened in that second half, because, you know, I think in this league there's so much parity that if you can at least make yourself one of the teams that tries to have that possession and create problems for the team when you have the ball, you're definitely gonna, you know, tend to win more games than lose. So I think if we can kind of continue establishing ourselves as a team that does, you know, impose our will, whether we're at home or away on the road, I think we'll be looking back at that LA game, you know, further down the line and further into the back end of the season, and be happy that maybe it did happen, because we had a good reaction from it, and we made a, you know, positive out of it.
He's Benny Failhaber. Benny, with 12 out of 20 teams making the playoffs, is it sometimes a fallback position for teams in this league? You know, hey, we'll turn it on when, you know, as we get closer to the playoffs. I don't see that happening because everything's so tight in the Western Conference, but is it a little too easy to get into the playoffs, you think, in this league?
I mean, probably. I think that doesn't have to do with anything other than just percentages. If you have, you know, 60% of the teams making it into the playoffs, that might be a little bit of, you know, a little bit high. So there's no doubt about it. That in that sense, yes, it's easy. But like I said, you know, there's so much parity in this league that, you know, you can say all you want. It's never going to be easy in that sense. So, for us, one thing that has been a little bit of a, you know, staple for us in the beginning of the season is to try and improve each and every game, because, you know, we do have some new players, new faces, so got to get, you know, used to the players around us, and they got to get used to, you know, our system. So, for us, it is a little bit about, you know, trying to play well at the right moment of the season. So, to answer your question, I think there is a little bit of that idea behind it, but at the same time, you know, I don't know if other teams, you know, think the same way as us. And we literally, you know, every single game that we go into, whether it's home, obviously, but also away, we're trying to come up with 3 points. We have a game plan to try and take 3 points. So, we're definitely not trying to, you know, I guess, not give away points at the beginning of the season and then see what happens and then, you know, make a different game plan towards the end of the season. But there definitely is a sense, I think, within our group that, albeit frustrating to not get the points, like you said, in LA and in some other circumstances, I think when we do feel the improvement each and every game, there's a positive from that.
Benny, how about a word on the Houston Dynamo? New manager Owen Coyle, who's adapting to Major League Soccer in a good way, 11 or 12 new players. There seems to be a little difference in this Dynamo team as opposed to the one last year.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Houston's had a pretty good start to the season. I think defensively they've been really good. Obviously, new goalie who's done really well so far. I'm pretty sure that the save of the week thing has to be rigged, though. He's won it, I feel like, every week. So, he's doing well. And yeah, like you said, new manager, he's put the team in a little bit of a different setup that we're used to seeing from Houston, but it's being effective. So, I think, definitely pieces are there and, they're starting to come together. I think it's not all too, similar to what we're going through with they're going through with a different lineup a different setup and with a different coach, and we're going through it with some different players. So it takes a little time to get used to, but I think that they're doing a pretty good job at it right now.
Yeah, good point. Some real similarities between some of the challenges and putting and piecing teams together here for both Peter Vermes, your manager, and Owen Coyle, the manager of the Dynamo. A couple of quick things for you on the road that you think you have to certainly be successful at here to get something out of coming to BBVA Compass Stadium.
Well, first and foremost, Houston and us are always, a pretty exciting game. I think we go after it. Obviously, we've had those 3 years in a row where we played each other in the playoffs, so that's, I think, developed a bit of a rivalry. So I'm sure it's going to be physical. I don't know how the field's playing over there, but usually it's a tough field to play us against them because we like to press and they've got some big bodies. So it maybe doesn't make the prettiest game, but definitely an exciting one. So we have to try and, win that physical battle against them. And then if we're able to do that, I think we'll get the chances to put the ball on the ground and play our game a little bit. So I think those are, main concerns going into it. I'm sure, Peter will have more towards the back end of the week to let us know. But I think just from my perspective and my experience of playing against them, I think those are two things that we really need to look to be able to do against them if we want to be successful.
Benny, listen, thank you very much for your time. Congratulations on the great start, not only personally or with your team in Sporting Kansas City. And we look forward to seeing you down here in Houston on Saturday night.
All right, I appreciate that, Clint.
All right, one of the most talented players in midfield in MLS, Benny Failhaber, joining us here tonight. We'll take a quick break. We got a lot more to come.
Listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud White, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan joining us right now, and I know we were just talking, complete performance here in the nation's capital, and at the end of the Dynamo looked like the home team.
Yeah, I felt like it was one of our most complete performances of the year. From start to finish, I was really, and we were really happy for the guys, how they performed. And, I think what was so great to see is how proactive we were in our play and how we were mentally engaged from start to finish.
Yeah, a lot of fans have commented on that they've loved the fact that the Dynamo were cavalier and went after the win on the road at RFK.
Yeah, you could see the intentions in particular the last 20 minutes of the second half. I mean, I thought the guys kind of, really went to put the nail in the coffin. And unfortunately, we didn't get that second goal. But, it was nice to see how the guys pushed and really went for the win.
Now, look, not all managers would have went for the win. I mean, that's on the manager and his ideas and wanting to go for a full 3 points. I mean, a lot of people would have pulled the wagons back and tried to get out of there with a point against DC United. And in the end, it was DC United, in my opinion, was kind of hanging on.
Yes, without doubt. I think you got to give credit to the coaching staff. They made a shift at halftime. Will came in and I thought had a very good game and brought a lot of really good energy to the game and really opened up a lot of space for his teammates. And then you even see with the other substitutions with Hoffman coming in and with Lovejoy coming in, they're all three offensive pieces, you know, and so it was overall a good performance. We're encouraged, of course. We'd be more satisfied with 3 points, and you know there's just no margin for error in the West, you know, and it's so tight, and every game matters, every point matters, every week matters.
He's Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. You know, one thing, we made a comment on the air on Root Sports that these days, to me, it seems like in Major League Soccer, you make a mistake, you're getting punished more often than not. Whereas I'm not sure I would have said that 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, it's just the quality of play, quality of players, and it's just the level of parity in the league. You know, any team can really beat any team in any given day, and how many leagues in the world can you say that about?
Let's talk a little bit about Alexander Lopez. Gets a start. He's playing in a position sort of out on the right a little bit now that maybe nobody would have thought he could have played. Has a great second half, and this was a real step up for him.
Yeah, I was really happy, and we were really happy for Alex. I thought he was one of our better players. You know, I haven't looked at the stats yet, but I'm pretty certain that his pass completion ratio was about perfect in the game, and we did very good keeping the team in possession, and he was very positive. I mean, even if you look, for me, the play of the game, and I had a great angle on it, I was with the team, is when he, the kind of the no-look pullback to Barnes for that late run on top of the box, you know, and I thought that that was very indicative of the game he had. He had a very good performance, and we're very happy for him.
If he gets on the field more often than not, it's obvious that the Dynamo possession game and the way they can control games is going to improve.
It's confidence. It's confidence. You know, I know that better than anybody, being a former player. It's all about confidence and being comfortable. And I think, you know, what I really like about this group is we have a lot of guys that are good soccer players. They have a good tactical awareness of the game. They're technically sound, you know, and even, you know, going back to the trade we made last week, I mean, and I'm watching training here today, as you look at a guy like Alex, who we brought from Chicago, it's just another player that has a very good understanding of the game.
Matt Jordan, Dynamo General Manager, joining us ahead of Sporting Kansas City. A couple thoughts on Sporting Kansas City, because I know you've seen them play this year.
Dynamic and dangerous. Dynamic, dangerous, very aggressive in their approach. I think that they know their system very well, and they have a very, you know, each player has a very clear understanding of what the coach's expectations are and what Peter's expectations are. Thought they were unfortunate not to come out of LA with a draw, and we know we're going to have to bring our A game. We know we're going to have to bring our A game because they're a very good side.
All right, update on USL and the future of that. Obviously, you got the agreement with Charleston right now. We got some players down there that have been performing well, but the future of that, how much work is being spent on that? How much thought is going into that?
A lot. Yeah, a lot. You know, we're doing a lot of planning, a lot of evaluating, looking at a lot of different things. You know, it's obviously a critical piece, you know, for the future of not only our club, but throughout the league. So it's something we're constantly working on. In saying that, we're pleased with how the guys are doing. You know, Memo Rodriguez, I don't know if you saw the goal, but he scored an outstanding goal against New York Red Bulls this weekend. Curled it back post right in the upper corner. Very nice. He's been doing very well. So, you know, yeah, it's a lot of moving parts, but we're working every day on this stuff.
So even though McAllen's a lot of the hot topic, Houston's not out of the picture as far as a USL pro team, right?
Right now we're evaluating all the options. There's a lot of layers, you know, and there's a lot of factors that play into these type of situations. You know, having been through this a couple, you know, not a couple times, but one time over the last couple of years. And so we're, you know, it's something we believe in, but we just got to, you know, do what makes sense, you know, from a holistic standpoint as well.
Matt, thank you for your time as always.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay, so that does it for the weekly visit with the general manager, Matt Jordan. Stay with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. More football talk, soccer talk, futsal talk to come.
Yo! You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Well, you couldn't end the show on any better note than tonight. Jeff Cameron of Stoke City, formerly of the Houston Dynamo, joining us here to wrap things up in big style from England. Jeff, how are you?
Good, Glenn. How are you doing?
Great to have you on the program, and great to have you on the program after what was a very impressive win, a 2-1 win over Southampton. Talk about that and the importance of this result for Stoke City.
Yeah, I mean, over the last few weeks, we've played well. You know, last week we getting a result, getting a point away at West Ham, and I think we deserved a little bit more than that. But we've had a few tough games as of lately, or dropping points and, you know, I think three games on a losing streak, and then fighting back in last weekend to get a point, and then trying to get our home form back on par. And Southampton is a good team. They've been flying. I think they were going into fifth in a Europa League spot, and, you know, they were trying to keep their position in the table. And with a team with that confidence and how well they're playing, they're a very, very tough side, and they've shown that against the big sides this year. But I would say it wasn't the best game. I think there was a lot of balls being given away. I think both teams were didn't play it to their best, but we found a way to come back into the game in the second half and score two goals and got 3 points. So there's games where you dominate the game and you don't win, and then there's games where, you know, it's kind of back and forth. Both teams aren't playing so great, and then we get 3 points. So it was a great day for the Potters, for sure.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the critical nature of fans, the press in England, now that you've been there a while. Speak to me about that pressure, because I know it's at a much different level than it is in Major League Soccer. The healthy pressure is there, and speak about that pressure from fans, press alike.
They just, I mean, I think they're an educated fan base with knowing how much, you know, football is the main sport here. There's no NFL, there's no Major League Baseball, there's no NBA. There's just football, some cricket, some rugby, but the main focus is football here, soccer. And with all the different media outlets, whether it's Sky Sports, BT, it's football. 24/7, you come into anybody's house, it's football on the TV, and someone's talking about some game or whatnot. And it's just the pressure of, you know, the teams, the fans require you to put out a shift every single weekend, which I think like anybody else does. And it just shows you, you know, they hold you to a higher standard. And, you know, if you come off the field and you didn't play a great game, they're going to let you know about it, because they're the ones that are paying to see you play every single weekend. And there's good things and there's bad things. I think sometimes fans are harsh and some of the things, and I get on the end of it as well. And, you get hate tweets, hate, comments on Instagram. And then, you know, there's always going to be someone that loves you, and there's someone that's going to hate you. And as a professional, you just have to take it, on your chin and know at the end of the day, if you look in the mirror and say, hey, you know, I left it all on the field this weekend and gave it all, then you can hold your head up high. But you just have to deal with that. And certain players deal with it in certain ways, and some people can deal with it and some people can't. And I think playing in the Premier League, you have to expect that. You have to be able to deal with that, because it's part of your job.
You better have a thick skin, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not great when you look at comments. I'm not gonna lie.
What's the worst? What's the meanest tweet somebody's given to you? Mean tweets. I'm gonna give you mine in a second, and I think you're gonna laugh knowing you like you know me. But I want to hear your meanest tweet.
I'm gonna have to edit it a little bit.
Please.
But you should never play soccer because you're a worthless blanking blank, and you should never put on the U.S. national team jersey on again.
Wow.
And that was for, like, playing for Stoke and for the national team.
Holy man.
I mean, that's, yeah. So, I mean, it's, it is what it is.
Strange.
People have their opinions, and you know, some of these people, they'll say things because you know they just want to give their opinion, and they want to be heard. And if you respond to them, it's like you make their day.
Yeah.
Where you just ignore it and they just keep doing it. It's not a big deal, but it is what it is. Like I said, there's always going to be haters, and you know, as long as you have a close, you know, tight-knit group around you with friends and family and support, then that's all you really care about. And if the coach is picking you every single weekend because he sees something in you and you're doing well every single weekend, and, you know, he can't really argue with it because the coach sees something every single day and these guys don't see what you do every single day. So,
yeah, let's move on to Mark Hughes and your manager. Tell me about your relationship with him.
For me, he's a great coach. I mean, he's someone that you want to play for. He's a player coach. He's played the game. He's played at some massive clubs and had a tremendous career. And you can see his eagerness to keep striving to be better and the hard work that he puts us through every single day. I mean, every day we train, we're training, we're playing football, we're putting the ball on the ground, we're trying to be creative. It's different from when I was under Pulis, and not saying they're both different managers and they're both successful. But I enjoy playing under Mark Hughes a little bit more because it's more my style. But both managers were fantastic and they accomplished things. But, for me, I enjoy it because I'm able to be creative. I'm able to kind of fit that system where, you're allowed to do what you want. As long as you understand your responsibilities, but he allows you to be creative in your own way.
Jeff, you know, I was sitting around talking with some of my friends the other night, and, you know, Brad Guzan, Aston Villa. But outside of him, I got to think that you're the lone American, along with him, that are really getting regular minutes in the top league in the world. I mean, is there anybody I'm missing here? I mean, does that ever frustrate you that more people don't recognize that you're a regular in what is arguably, and most people say, the most competitive league in the world?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, you have Tim, myself, Brad Guzan, and then you have Danny Williams that are playing in the championship, Tim Ream that are playing in the championship, and, you know, England's leagues are top quality, I would say. You know, I would say one of the most competitive leagues in the world. And the Premier League is, I would say, one of the best leagues in the world, if not the best league in the world. And I think maybe it's just the fact that the Potters, the Stoke, we have this persona of just hitting long balls, and we were thugs back in the day, and, you know, just kick people and tackle and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's going to take some time to change that kind of identity that Stoke has had for a long time. And now they realize that, hey, we're a team that's in the top 10 in the Premier League. We're a pretty big club, and we're up and coming, and we're getting better and better every single year. So I think it's just maybe changing that identity a little bit, and then maybe that will give the more notoriety of being more well known. And there's actual American that's playing in the Premier League, and, you know, we have an actual American playing for Stoke City. But I mean, for me, it's just, I kind of keep my head down, stay focused, and, you know, trying to play every single weekend consistently, and trying to stay healthy and all that kind of stuff. But it is what it is. I think the U.S. media, you know, they have their guys that they focus on, and you know, obviously with the MLS and all that kind of stuff. But for me, it's just staying focused on myself and making sure that I'm putting the effort in every single weekend for Stoke City, and I'm playing.
All right, Jeff will stay with us. That's part one of the Jeff Cameron interview. Stay with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. More Jeff Cameron, more Premier League, more Stoke City.
Smile and not get worried. I try, but it's so. You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud White, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you that the Houston Dynamo will be in action this weekend against Sporting Kansas City. Get your tickets over at HoustonDynamo.com. Sporting Kansas City coming to BBVA Compass Stadium with the likes of Benny Failhaber, Roger Espinosa, Dom Dwyer, Matt Beisler, Graham Zuzzi, two guys who played for the U.S. in the World Cup. Bud Light reminds you that the place to get your ticket packages, whether it's for the Houston Dynamo and MLS, the Houston Dash, and the NWSL, it is over at HoustonDynamo.com. Still, for me, the best sporting value in town. Bud Light, the official sponsor of Soccer Matters over on ESPN 97.5, our sister station. Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM, and also the Mexican national team. All right, part two now of Jeff Cameron, who continues to enlighten us about life in the Premier League. He's Jeff Cameron, Stoke City. He's played in a number of different positions for Mark Hughes, I guess mainly at right back. The effort you put in, the focus you put in, you can't really have an off day at training. I mean, off days can't come consistently to survive in this league. So explain to people how much effort, both not just the physical effort, but the mental effort of staying connected, both on and off the field. The games come quickly. The training is ultra competitive every day. Everything you're doing before going to training has to be geared toward what you're going to do at training. I'm not sure people get the actual depth of the mental focus to play consistently in this league. You cannot have an off day.
No, I mean, and I think that's the great thing about this league. With, you know, you have two or three guys. Sometimes depending on what position you play, you might have three or four guys waiting for an opportunity for you to slip up or to mess up. And not that the players are wishing for that to happen, but they're waiting for their opportunity. And if you have that starting spot or you have that role, there's someone waiting to knock on that door and to push into that position because they want to play as well. And there's times where I hate sitting on the bench. I hate not playing. It's the worst thing for me, just because my mentality, my attitude, I want to play every single game. There's nothing worse than sitting on the bench and just watching the game. And from that view, you want to be part of it. And preparing yourself every single day, it's your job. Your job is to perform. Your job is to train every single morning at your best. And if you have days where you don't play great, but you don't want to make that a consistent thing. You have to bring your A game every single day because there's someone knocking on the door. And, you know, you go home, you rest, you relax a little bit. And the difference is, if you want to go home and have a beer after work, it's cool. I mean, for a normal job from a 9 to 5 or whatever, you can go to the bar and have fun and go with your friends and stuff. When you're playing soccer, you can't do that. And you come home, you're eating well, you're getting your rest, you're preparing yourself for the next day, for the next training session, because you know someone else is there doing the same thing and pushing you harder and harder to make sure you're consistent every single day.
Okay,
and
now I need to stop you there. Jeff, I want to stop you there because you're saying something that's tweaking something in my brain.
Yeah.
Is some of your mentality a little fear-based? In other words, I mean in a healthy way. The fear of losing a starting job.
Fear-based.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
is healthy fear a part of it?
I think so. I mean, you're always fearful because you don't want to mess up. You don't want to give the other person behind you an opportunity to take your position, right? So you're a little fearful of that, but in a way where I think it's a good fear, where you're always constantly trying to improve yourself. You're constantly trying to get better, and I think you use that in a way to help you improve and help you work hard, and it kind of fuels the fire a little bit. So yeah, I would say it's a good tool to have. You're always fearful. I mean, I think people are fearful of if they don't do their job, they're going to get fired. But if there's really no one to push them, I think people get comfortable. And I think you can never be comfortable in the game of football because you don't know if you're guaranteed a starting spot. You could be the best player in the world, but if you start slacking off and you're not scoring goals and you're not putting effort in, you won't be playing very long. There's someone, it's someone that's going to be another, you know, Ronaldo or Messi that is going to come up and eventually and take that limelight, take that position. So even more so for guys that aren't up to that caliber. And that, I think that's what fuels the fire, that challenges you to push yourself every single day to get better and better.
27 total appearances this year, 23 in the league, 4 in the cup. There is no rest for the weary here in England. And healthy fear is what I would have put in front of fear, healthy fear. All right, so Breck Shea, and I know Breck's a good friend of yours. You guys have played on the national team together. You know, why was it tough for him in England?
I think it was just with Breck. I mean, I think the coaches saw that he had so much potential. And, you know, I don't think things started off well for him when he first came over because he was injured. He's coming off of a surgery, his toe surgery. And, you know, I think they kind of rushed him back a little too quick and it kind of gave him a little setback. And then that was the first year that he came back and he joined up with Stoke from the Gold Cup and he was playing really, really well. And then all of a sudden he gets injured in the last game of preseason in Philly. And does his MCL, and you know, I think it was something else, and it set him back about 5 or 6 weeks. And you know, when everybody else is fully fit and they're ready to go and they're getting ready for their season, and then Breck misses 4 or 5 weeks or 5 or 6 weeks, he's got to play catch up for 6 weeks with guys that are feeling sharp, that are quick, they're in the season mode in that grind already, and he's just coming back. And I think it got really tough for him because there was already 2 or 3 guys there where, you know, when he came into preseason, he was one of the main guys. And it got really, really hard for him to get back into the team. And the coaches know and the players knew that he had the skill and the capability of being a great player and playing a number of games in the Premier League and playing for Stoke. But I think everything it was just bad luck and bad timing. So I think it was a great move for him to get back to the MLS and get his confidence back and to get to playing consistently every single weekend and seeing how well he's done so far this season. It's been a great move for him. And he's a great guy. He works hard every single day. He's in the gym after training, before training. So you can't say it was a lack of effort. I think it was just a mixture of everything with timing and injuries and all that kind of stuff.
All right. Talk to me about Charlie Adam, the goal from his own half against Chelsea. I know he's tried that a lot in practice. I know he's tried it a lot in games. What's he been talking about with this halfway line goal? I mean, I know it's beyond it now, but there was a lot of attention on that goal.
That's the one thing Charlie can do. He can absolutely smash and ping a ball. His left foot is pretty remarkable. And, you know, you always see him do it in training sometimes when the goalies are stepping outside the 18 and he'll look up and he'll have a go at training. Most of the time he overhits it, but, you know, a 62-yard kick at past half field, I mean, is pretty incredible. And there's not a lot of players that can actually do that, can hit it on the fly like he did. So you got to give him credit because you know he can absolutely smash it in, and to do it in that kind of game and against that team on that goal is a pretty astonishing goal.
Bojan Krkić now comes over from Spain. We know how talented he is. Has it been a bit of an adjustment for him playing in the Premier League?
Yeah, I think in the first few weeks, say first month or so, I think it was some time for him to adjust to the speed, the physicality of the game. And then all of a sudden, boom, he just clicked. I mean, he's one of my good friends on the team. We get along really, really well. And for me, he's probably the best footballer that I've played with, soccer player. I mean, the guy is unbelievable. Technically, quick, fast, strong, and he just he's so creative. He allows other players, he brings other players into the game. He makes other players around him better, and he brings everybody up to his level. And I think, you know, this season when he obviously got injured, it took some time for us to adjust because he was our guy. If we were down a goal and we needed some creativity, we needed a spark, we had to give him the ball because he was our guy that we would go to score a goal or a late winner or something like that. And I think now we're dealing well without him. But obviously, I think we missed that creativity this season. But not, for me, he's one of the best players I've played with, and I think his resume says it all.
Jeff Cameron, Stoke City, joining us. We're going to wrap this up with him because it's late at night in England, and I appreciate this from you, Jeff. A couple of quick more questions here. Let's start with Steven Gerrard. His last appearance in English football is likely to be a game at Stoke. That's going to be pretty memorable.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty special. I know we already got a notice from the club saying that you know, we had to get our tickets in early because all the Liverpool fans were trying to buy out all the suites and the tickets and everything because they knew it was going to be his last game in the Liverpool jersey. So we're expecting it's going to be obviously an emotional day for Liverpool and all their fans, but. And for, I think, all the players that we're playing against him. I mean, what he's done for the Premier League and what he's done for England and the caliber of player he is amazing. And to play on the same field as him and play against him a number of times is pretty special. And to be a part of his last game will be even more special.
Pretty incredible. You saw the U.S. victory over Mexico, I assume. I assume also the Gold Cup could be a big part of your plans this summer. What's happening with the U.S. national team and you right now, Jeff?
Yeah, just, you know, obviously just trying to focus on my season, finish up my season and get some, after the season, get some rest to shut my body down for a bit. And then, you know, hopefully I'll be part of the Gold Cup or be called upon for the Gold Cup. But it's tough because, the situation that's in England, we're in season, we're in preseason that time. I think we're being called in for the 1st or 2nd of July. The season's earlier this year. It's starting earlier in August, because it's ending earlier in May due to the Euros. So, it'd be interesting to see what happens with the, with, you know, Stoke letting, me being released for that, or if I'm going to be called in, or if he's going to be calling younger guys, giving other younger guys opportunity. So we'll see. You know, it's been a long, tough season with obviously with the World Cup in the last 3 or 4 years. I haven't had a true off season, and I think with the World Cup this past summer and then coming into preseason, I think that's one of the kind of jumped into preseason right away and then right into the season. And I think that kind of led to my sports attorney and some other niggles that I've had throughout this season. And for me, I feel good now. Feel really, really sharp. I think it's just being done and recover and relax a little bit and mentally recharge and my battery for another big year next year.
He's Jeff Cameron. Jeff, as always, thank you very much for coming on the show, not only an English Premier League player, a U.S. national team player, but also shark fisherman extraordinaire. And, Jeff, thank you very much for coming on tonight. We appreciate you staying up late. And, you know, your story's a great one. You're one of the few Americans that are getting regular playing time in what is the greatest soccer league in the world. Thank you for your time, Jeff.
Thanks, Ben. Always a pleasure, man.
All right. We look forward to talking to you soon, Jeff. And we wrap it up tonight in that great style with Jeff Cameron. Bud Light reminds you to get down to BBVA Compass Stadium, taking the Dynamo the Dash. Bud Light also the official sponsor of the Mexican national team. Bud Light has always supported the game of soccer, and Bud Light is an official sponsor of Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. For Aaron Raybould, I'm Glenn Davis. Thank you for tuning in tonight.